And suddenly there was a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now look over to verse 17. 17 in your Bible is probably italicized, and it's because in verse 16 it shows us that this is a prophecy from the Old Testament, from the book of Joel, the prophet Joel. And he said this, he said, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servant and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood." This year we have watched, and you probably have seen the books and the movie of the four blood moons. We believe that that is exactly this prophecy. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the anointing upon your word, that it brings life, Lord, to us. Father, that it changes us. It changes the way we think. It transforms our lives, Father. Makes us into more like the image of Christ than we've ever been before. I pray, Lord, for your anointing of the word. I pray for your anointing upon the person, Lord, to speak your word and your word only. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Many people think that Acts chapter 2, the Holy Ghost came to being, and think, wow, that's pretty neat. Third part of the Trinity finally shows up some thousands of years later. I got news for you. The Holy Ghost has always been. He's always been. Matter of fact, you turn back to Genesis, you'll see that God spoke, but the Spirit hovered. You remember that? It said the Spirit of God hovered upon the face of the earth. And for a long time, I thought, wonder what he was doing. Can I encourage you to do something? Don't call the Holy Spirit it. He's part of the Godhead. It's a he. So he was hovering, the Bible says. What was he doing there hovering? He was waiting for the word to be spoken by God. Who was the word? Jesus is the word, right? Was made flesh and dwelt among us. But before he was flesh, he was the word of God. So God would speak the word and the Spirit would go into action, waiting on the command of God. So we see the Holy Ghost active as far back as creation. Then we see the Holy Spirit moving in times of the Old Testament. Not the same way that he moved in the New Testament, but he was still active. Matter of fact, the Bible would say stuff like this, "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he did this," right? Samson, remember? The Spirit of the Lord would come. Now, I think a lot of people, when they see Samson in their mind, if they get this mental picture of Samson, they see Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know? But I got a feeling Samson was probably a scrawny little guy. Because I think God likes to show off. I think God likes to take what looks like just a natural little fella and do extraordinary feats in their life. The Spirit of the Lord is why Samson had strength. It wasn't because of his hair. He took a vow to the Lord, and that's the thing that was precious about Samson, is he obeyed the Lord in that vow. But the Spirit of the Lord is what came upon him that allowed him to do the things that he did. Remember King Saul, when he was first anointed king? Spirit of the Lord would come upon him and he would prophesy, right? He would speak on God's behalf. He would speak in worship for God. So the Holy Spirit was active in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, it changes. The Holy Spirit no longer comes upon us to do something for amazing and then departs. But now in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit comes in us. All through Sunday school as a little kid, you've been taught that Jesus lives in... Hey, Jonah, don't do that, honey. You've been taught in Sunday school that when the Holy Spirit, or when you get saved, that Jesus comes and lives in your heart. And that's really not correct. It's the Spirit of Jesus. It's the Spirit of Christ. Because the Bible specifically says that when Jesus left, He sits at the right hand of the Father. But it's the Holy Ghost that comes into the heart of men. And He changes us. After the resurrection of Jesus, He promised His disciples in Acts 1:8, He says this, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." I want you to know that on the day of Pentecost, Jesus kept His word. He kept telling people, "Watch for the Holy Ghost." And He would say stuff like to His disciples, "It's going to be better for you when I leave." There's not one disciple that believed Him. There's not one person that would believe that it's better if Jesus was go away because the Holy Ghost was coming. But you know what? It was better. You know why? Because Jesus was confined to a body just like you. Was He God? Yes, but He was also fully man. So He was in one spot at one time. The Holy Ghost is in this building today. But this is not the only church in Henry County where the Holy Ghost is moving today. And this is not the only town in Tennessee or America or the world where the Holy Ghost is moving. He is not limited by time or space, confined to a building. The Holy Ghost is moving today. I'm telling you, I hope you get your eyes on. I hope today that you see the power of the Holy Ghost and the influence that He is making in our world. And I hope, for God's sake, that we rebuke this spirit of fear about the Holy Spirit. There are so many people that are afraid. We call it pneumophobics. They're afraid of the Holy Ghost. They're afraid that if I get too much of the Holy Ghost, I'll act weird. Only if you want to. Spirit is subject to the man. That's what the Scripture says. If you're weird now and you get spirit filled, you're still going to be weird. But if you're not weird now and you get spirit filled, you probably won't be weird then. But I'm going to tell you, He's precious. And there are things that the Holy Ghost wants to do in our lives that if we will allow Him, He will change us. And that's what I want to talk to you today about. There's 10 things. Number one, the Holy Spirit exalts Jesus. In John chapter 15, verse 26, He says, "When the Advocate comes..." Who's the Advocate? Some versions may say Comforter. I like both of those terms. "Whom that I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, He will testify about me." John 16, 14, Jesus says, "The Holy Spirit will glorify me, because it's from me that He will receive what He will make known to you." The Holy Spirit will teach you more about Jesus than you've ever thought before possible. He will show you, when you're walking in the Spirit, it's not a contest between these three. Does that make sense? Denny did an excellent job a couple of weeks ago in Sunday school talking about, he says, a lot of times people see God as grumpy. And I thought that was pretty good. You know, we like Jesus, but this God thing sort of scares us because He's a grumpy old man. God is not grumpy. These three entities, these three gods move together in such unity. Matter of fact, He tells the church, He says, keep the unity. Keep the unity of the Spirit. In other words, there's already perfect unity in the Godhead. And we need to keep that. So I grew up in the church, grew up in the Pentecostal church, and I can remember back in the, seems like in the 70s and the 80s, people saying, now don't worship the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to worship Jesus. Don't worship the Holy Spirit. I got news for you. The Holy Spirit is God. You can worship the Holy Spirit because He is God. They're not jealous of each other. You're not slighting one when you worship the other, right? But worship the Holy Spirit because He brings a different perspective. But the perspective that He brings is He glorifies Jesus. I love that when He says, what He speaks to you is what He's going to hear me saying. Now, I don't know how you see that in your mind, but here's the way I see it. I see that Jesus, the Bible says, sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. I hear those two chatting away, and the Holy Ghost over there saying, I need to tell them that. I just heard something in the throne room that's going to bless them if they hear this. So I need to tell Peggy that her name just come before the throne. Wow. He's only going to tell what He hears them say. Isn't that great? Going to glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit convicts us. In John 16, verse 8 and 11, He says, when He comes, He will prove the world to be in wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in Me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see Me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of the world now stands condemned. When you get saved, it's because the Holy Spirit has visited your heart. The Holy Spirit has come to you and says, you're not right. Jesus loves you. And there's something that He wants to take out of your heart, and that's sin. And most of us really never get past that area in our life. Most of us continually think, well, that's Jesus. That's the Holy Ghost convicting us of sin. But did you notice He says He convicts us of righteousness also? It's the Holy Ghost that says, you need to do this. Have you ever had the Holy Spirit speak to you and say, give that person $100? What do you say? Get thee behind me, Satan. you ever been someplace and all of a sudden you just felt like, I'm supposed to talk to that person, but I don't know what to say. That's the Holy Spirit prompting you in righteousness. Prompting you, leading your steps, guiding you. And the Bible says if you'll just step out, He'll give you the words to say. You don't have to have it all together. He's going to give you the words to speak. But He moves us in righteousness. And it says in judgment, because the prince of this world is already judged. And He lets us know that. Number three, the Holy Spirit regenerates us. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, then Peter said, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember in the book of John when Jesus, before he had ascended, it was right, he had died, he rose from the dead, and he walks into the room of the disciples, and you remember what He said to them? Receive ye the Holy Spirit. But then He goes on, He says, but wait in Jerusalem until you can receive the Holy Spirit. Makes you scratch your head. What's He talking about? Here's what I believe. Now, you may not think about this way, but the disciples wasn't saved. They couldn't be saved until Jesus died. What happens at salvation? The Holy Spirit comes in. I believe Jesus cut to the chase. And He says, guys, I know your hearts. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. And I believe at that moment, they were saved. They didn't speak in tongues, but they were saved. But on the day of Pentecost, something else happened. It was another move of the Holy Ghost, where they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and they spake in tongues. It's an empowerment. But you can see it was two steps right there. Now, if they never spoke in tongues, would they make it to heaven? Let's get this straight really quick. Listen, I want everybody listening to me. Everybody. If they never spoke in tongues, do they make it to heaven? Absolutely yes. No doubt. No doubt. What he says, if the Holy Spirit is not in you, you're not of him. So what's he talking about? Speaking in tongues? No. He's talking about the salvation. The Holy Ghost comes in as salvation. So you go to heaven. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Ghost comes in you. And you are saved. Don't you dare leave this place and tell anybody that this pastor says you got to speak in tongues to be saved. I did not say that. I will not say that. I'll never say that. I don't believe it. But do I believe in speaking in tongues? Do I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost? You betcha. You betcha. And I'd love to see every person be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Number four, the Holy Spirit lives in us. I think I've already covered that. But he says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, he says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and the Spirit of God dwells within you?" 6:19, he says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom the Father, who have come from the Father, you are not your own?" Ephesians 3:20 says, "He will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to what? The power that lies within you." What is that power? It's not my power. It's not your human power. It's the divine power. It is the Holy Ghost, that he will do great things. I wish every child of God would see themselves as a temple of the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because it's going to make you live different. You know, there's some places that Jesus just wouldn't go today. There's some places that he would not partake in. Now, he may go for the person to speak to the person. He may go call the man out. But there's things that he wouldn't do. There's things that he wouldn't see. You know what? We would not have problems with pornography in the church if people saw themselves as the temple of the Holy Ghost. Say, "Well, Pastor, we don't have problems like that, do we? Are you kidding me? We got problems with pastors having problems with the pornography. People are losing their license. Why? There's something about once you walk with the Lord for a little while, it's like you forget who you are. It's like you forget that I'm a temple. There is nothing special about this building. But there is something glorious about you. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are where the Holy Ghost dwells, not in this building. When we leave, the Spirit leaves. But when we gather, the Spirit gathers. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I'll be in the midst of them. You know why? Because when Gene and I get together, I brought the Holy Ghost and so did he. So yeah, the Holy Ghost is here. Yeah, the presence of God is there because we bring him. Do you remember in the Old Testament they had the Ark of the Covenant? And the Ark of the Covenant was the presence of God. It represented the presence of God. Remember when David put it on the cart? And he was hauling it back to Jerusalem on this cart, and the cart stumbled, or the ox stumbled, and the ark went to fall. And the man thought, "Oh, my goodness, I got to protect the presence of God." And he reached out to stabilize it, and he was dead. Why? Because the Ark of the Covenant was never supposed to be carried on a cart pulled by an ox. It was supposed to be carried on the shoulders of the priests. They would put poles in the middle and they would lift it up. And I'm going to tell you, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, that has not changed. The presence of God is still supposed to be carried on the priest's shoulders. You and I are the priest. We carry the presence of God. And it's not just in church. It's at the grocery store. It's a gas station. It's wherever you go. When you go to grandma's house, you need to see the presence of God goes with me to grandma's house. Say, you don't know where I work. I work in the filthiest talking place in town. Well, I want you to know that when you walk in there, a holiness walks in with you. Because you're carrying the presence of God. We'll get to that just a little bit more. Number five, the Holy Spirit seals, not the but seals believers. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. He says, when you believed, you were marked to him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. Chapter 4, verse 30 of that same book says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. I have bought many houses in my life. And every time I go to make a deal and buy a house, you know what they want? They say, we know you can't pay for it right now, but will you give us some money as a deposit, showing that you're earnest? I like this. God says, you're not home yet, but I want to show you how earnest I am. So I want to make a deposit in your life that you'll know who you are in God. You'll know how precious you are, and you'll know that I am with you through everything you go through. He makes a deposit. He seals us with a mark. He says, you're going to be marked. I'm telling you, I'm preaching like an old Pentecostal preacher. I'm telling you, wherever you go, people are going to notice something's different about him. Larry shared with me today, 40 years old when he got saved. I didn't know that about Larry. He said, I drank a lot and I smoked. He said, the day I got saved, I quit doing both. God took it away from him. I'm telling you guys, we live in a town that is so bombarded with drugs and alcohol. There's so many people that I'm meeting every day that are just hopeless. And we need to tell them, there's a deposit for you from God. Let the Holy Ghost come in you and save your soul. God will turn you around. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Number six, the Holy Spirit guides you. John 16, verse 13 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide us into all truth. For he'll not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he'll speak. And he will tell you things to come. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to forewarn us. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to tell us things today that may be in your future, but it may be in your present right now. Steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. That's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will tell you. You may see, if you're a young person and into the dating scene, you may see something that looks pretty good on the outside. But I'm going to tell you, the inside might be bitter. You better rely upon the Holy Ghost to say, you don't need that. Not everything that glitters is gold, is it, church? And he can tell us that. You know, I'm going to tell you, I've seen people that have lost things that have prayed, Holy Ghost, I know you know where that ring's at. Show me where that's at. Find it. I know people that are not mechanical that the Holy Ghost would teach them how to fix their car. And I'm blowing some of your minds. And you're thinking, now you just, well, back it up, Jack. Just because you don't know it doesn't make it not so. I'm not here as the expert speaking for the Holy Ghost today. All I can tell you is what the Word of God says and what I've experienced. But I'm going to tell you, the Holy Ghost is wonderful. We don't need to run from Him. We need to run to Him. The Bible says, if you being evil, speaking of us as parents, if you being evil would give your child something good, how much more will I give the Holy Ghost to you? I'm telling you, it's God's gift to us. We need to say, give me more. Give me more. Number 7, the Holy Spirit prompts us to worship. I'm going to tell you, someone that has a relationship with the Holy Ghost, they are a worshiper. It's not a pretense. It's not a show. They don't care who's in the church. They don't care. Don't even have to be in the church. People that know their God worship. I'm going to tell you, the more you know about Him, the more you worship Him. The more difficulty you have in your life, when you realize that He brought me out of that. We had a son that was born crippled and God was faithful. You know what it did? It increased my desire to worship. How many of you have had times in your life, difficult times, and the Holy Ghost came through for you? You can't wait to lift those hands up. Say, thank you, Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. John chapter 4, verse 24, God is a spirit and His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Ephesians 5, 18, 19, it says, and do not be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, which is unrighteous living. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Revelation 19, 6, I love this. He says, and I heard as it were. Now this was John, the revelator. And he was in heaven. He says, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude as the sound of many waters. I'm thinking of Niagara Falls is what I think. And as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. I'm going to tell you, if you sit here and say, I don't so like all that emotionalism in church, you may want to second guess going to heaven. Because I'm going to tell you, heaven's going to be a noisy place. Because I believe that we're just going to start. I think it may calm down for a little bit. And all of a sudden, somebody says, hallelujah. And when that person says, hallelujah, somebody else says, yes, hallelujah. The Lord God omnipotent reigns. And I think it's going to sweep through heaven. Yes, hallelujah. Now we'll act that way in a ball game. Come on, Cardinals, come on. But don't act that way in church. Oh, dear God, that's not right. Let me tell you, if you're going to act that way in a ball game, I can act that way in church. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be a witness. Acts 1:8, He says, you'll receive power when the Holy Ghost comes on you and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. 1 Thessalonians 1:5 says, our gospel came to you, not simply with words, hallelujah, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. I want you to know, I want you to see, in Acts 1:8, He says, and you will be. He does not say, and you will do. There's a difference in doing and being. Anybody can do witnessing. We can all get together and say, let's go to Walmart. We're going to stand outside the doors and talk about Jesus. We can all do that. But I want you to know, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you don't have to do witnessing. You will be a witness. You'll look at people different. People will come to the door and they'll be smiling. And you'll look in their eyes and you'll think, you need Jesus. Why? Because your spirit, the spirit that's in you, identifies some great need that's in their heart. Say, are you telling us, Pastor, that you have ESP? ESP's of the devil. I got something better than ESP. I got the Holy Ghost. Number 9, the Holy Spirit enables us to understand and apply the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness. There are a lot of people that thinks that the Word of God is irrelevant for the lives that we live today. How wrong they are. The Word of God is good for today. It was good for yesterday. And for however long the Lord tarries, it will be good for those days. It's useful for equipping us, for maturing us. I'm thankful for what God did when Larry was 40 years old. But if he has not grown from that day, shame on him. God doesn't save you to just let you stay that way. God saves you to start you on your path, your spiritual journey, moving every day closer to him, becoming more like him every day of your life. And he does that by changing this through the Word of God. Number 10, the Holy Spirit gives us courage to stand against the schemes of the devil. And if you need scripture on that, that's Ephesians chapter 6. I don't have that in here. Acts chapter 4, verse 18 through 20 says, then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. But a couple of weeks ago, before this day, Jesus, or Peter, denied Jesus 3 times. Something happened to Peter after the resurrection that totally changed him, that gave him the power to stand up and say, I don't care what you guys say. You can tell me all day, every day, not to teach in the authority of Jesus Christ, but I'm telling you, I am listening to him. I used to be the man that denied him, but today I am no longer that man. Guys, I'm going to tell you, we're coming to the end of time. The world is beginning to look at Christians already and say, you know what? The world would be better off without you. I've heard it said many times, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. The Holy Spirit will enable you to stand when it matters. You guys remember raising teenagers? The one thing that I can remember people taught me is pick your battles, right? You can't stay on your teenagers for everything they do. You'll be on their shoulders all the time and they'll learn to hate you. You got to pick your battles. You got to pick the things that are important and then drive it home in love. I think the same thing is true today. We can't fight on every front. But there are some things, as a child of God, you got to learn to stand. You got to learn to stand at the water fountain of where you work. And when something is said, I hate seeing Christians tuck their tail and run. It is time that we learn to stand for what is right, for what God has called us to do. You may think that it's really easy to preach a sermon. Oh, yeah, that looks pretty easy up there. I'm going to tell you, it's not easy. You got to stand. There's some things I can, you know, I am a big believer in tithing. But I'm also a very compassionate person. I remember talking to somebody a few years ago and he said, Eric, he said, we've got ourselves in so much debt. He said, we just can't tithe anymore. He said, if we tithe, we'll lose our house. We won't be able to make our house payment. Compassion welled up in me. You know what I wanted to say? Well, you know, God understands that. You know what I said? I said, you tithe and God will meet your need. That's not what Eric wanted to say. But it's what the Word says. Am I making sense to you? They started tithing. They didn't lose their house. God is faithful. We don't teach on tithing much in this church. I don't even like to talk about giving. But I'm going to tell you something. There's an old saying, you can't outgive God. And that's the truth. And there's another old saying, you cannot afford not to tithe. That's an Old Testament principle. You better read your New Testament again. Because it ain't just an Old Testament principle. God redeems. I'm not talking about tithing. I don't want to talk about that. Learn to stand. The Holy Spirit. You know, you may think it's hard for me to stand. I'm going to tell you, it's much harder for this woman to stand. This lady likes to please everybody. She don't want to fight with anybody. I grew up fighting. I mean, you want to bring it on, baby. with you. She hates it. But I've seen her stand many times when it comes down. I've seen her say things to people that I think, oh dear God, I can't better start looking for a new member. Tree, we're running that one off. Speaking the Word of God to people with authority. It's the Holy Ghost. Jesus. You need Him. You need Him. I got one last thing to say to you. Make room for the Holy Ghost in your life. Make room for the Holy Ghost in your life. Say, Eric, I'm saved. I know you are. God bless your heart. I know that. But I'm going to tell you, we don't need less, we need more. It's a difficult day. And I don't see that changing. We need more Holy Spirit in our life. We need to live closer to Jesus than we've ever lived before. You need a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Say, well, I just don't believe in that tongues thing. Well, just read your Bible. Don't read it through the way you were brought up. Just open your Bible and just start reading it. Start with the book of Acts and just start reading it. Don't go by what I say and don't go by what Grandma said. Read the Bible. And then if you can come back to me after you really study and read the Bible and say, I just don't see it, I won't bother you. I'll rebuke you, but no. I'm telling you, we need Him. These young kids, they need the Holy Ghost. These old people, you need the Holy Ghost. Brother Bud, where would we be without the Holy Ghost? This man's buried two of his children and this woman. Because he didn't do it by himself. It's the Holy Ghost that gets you through hard times. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the Holy Ghost. He's right there. See, you may be having a very difficult time right now. This moment. And I want you to know, the Holy Ghost is there to help you. He's not 10 miles ahead of you and He's not 20 miles behind you. Right here. Right here, right now. You need the Holy Ghost. You need the empowerment of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Stand with me if you would. You know, there's a book written by Bruce Wilkerson. And it's The Prayer of Jabez. And he says in there, the Prayer of Jabez is two verses in the Old Testament. And Jabez says, to enlarge my territory. I want you to know, I believe that's a prayer that we need to keep praying. Lord, enlarge my territory. Enlarge my capacity to receive. Enlarge the move of the Holy Ghost in my heart and life. Lord, I need more of you. I've been saved for 45 years. And I'm going to tell you, I don't need less. I need more. I need more of Him. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If you do not know Jesus is your Savior, if you do not know Jesus is your Savior, the Holy Ghost does not live in you. But He wants to. With a very simple prayer, with a prayer of repentance, you can ask Jesus into your heart and the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ, will come and live in you. Is there anyone here today that says, Pastor, pray for me. I need to accept Jesus. Anyone at all? Say, Pastor, pray. Okay. This next thing, I know it's just a little late. Give me just a couple more minutes. If you're here today and you'd say, I need to make more room for the Holy Ghost, I want you to slip out of your chair and I want you to come and stand up here. I'm not just talking about I need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'm saying that if you're thinking, I need to be more like Him, I need to give Him more room in my heart. Maybe you are Spirit-filled. Maybe you can speak in tongues with the best of them. There's so much more than speaking in tongues. I am so sorry that we have made the baptism of the Holy Ghost just about speaking in tongues. My goodness, He's so much more. Are you here today and say, I need included in that prayer. I want to give the Lord more of my heart. Would you come? Would you come? We just want to end with a prayer. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, I would be in this altar. Pastor Ray, I want you to come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
I need. Strengthen.